Welcome to The Chalene Show. Chalene is a New York Times bestselling author, celebrity fitness trainer, and obsessed with helping you live your dream life.
Clutter. Clutter isn't just the stuff on the floor. It's anything that gets between you and the life you want to be living. And if you're not good at decluttering, you're just moving things around. And you're moving things around takes forever because you're never getting rid of stuff. So you're always just moving things around, procrastinating, getting to the things you need to get to. So if all day long you're seeing loads and piles and heaps of clutter, just things that you know need to be taken care of or gotten rid of or found a home or donated or organized, all of that is draining your brain. I think sometimes people find it peculiar that I make such a big deal about decluttering. I think it's one of the first things you need to do if you want to get your life in order. We're going to get through this, but you've got to develop some systems. The systems are what keep it in place indefinitely. Number one, create a place where you're going to keep an ongoing record, notes, if you will, about what areas you want to start with first that are causing you the most discord, distracting you. They're upsetting. And you're going to label those rooms, and you're also going to write a few notes about what you'd like those rooms to look like or those areas. Your number two assignment was simply to acknowledge that clutter is not okay. It's holding you back. It's holding your life hostage. It's a major barrier. It's not a little thing. It's not, oh, I've got this messy room in my house and it's not that big of a deal. No, it's a really big deal. And it's holding your life hostage. And it's something you can fix. It's within your control. You've got to take responsibility. And the number three assignment I have for you is to begin asking yourself when and where you learned that living like this was okay. Next, we'll create a plan for you to begin creating peace, calm, and systems in your environment.
My house is very cluttered, but it's behind doors. The closet door, my office closet, my kitchen cabinets, all behind closed doors, but it's still cluttered. When I have to address it, it makes me feel anxious and anxiety, which leads me to want to calm my anxiety down by stuffing my face with food.
Right now, my office is full of clutter. It's basically a storage room temporarily, and I do not even want to go in there to sit at my computer to start working on my business. I mean, I avoid that room at all costs. I don't even want to go in that room to declutter. So yes, it makes me stressful just sitting on my couch in the decluttered room. I'm stressed thinking about the cluttered room.
Did you notice the common theme? Both of them said they could feel the clutter. They were blocked from doing the things they needed to do, even if they couldn't see the clutter. Just knowing that the clutter is there, even when you're at your office and you're trying to work, that cluttered closet that you left behind in the morning is still in your subconscious, preventing you from doing the things you need to do. It's a really big deal. It's no wonder that this is so debilitating. I mean, the average person, get this, has 7,000 items in their home that they don't need or touch or use. 7,000. So let's get to work. The first thing I have to identify is that organization and clutter are two different things. If you've ever walked into like a discount clothing store here in the United States, we have one that's called Forever 21. This is the one specifically I'm thinking about. And whenever I go in there, it's very organized, but it's very cluttered. You can't move the hangers. Like, I've left before because I'm like, you know what? I just need a cheap blouse. But it's not even worth having to feel so distracted by so much. So organization is the systems that allow you to find things where they're supposed to be. Systems and organization can only be put in place after the clutter has been removed. I want you to think of these steps that I want to share with you as preparation. They are preparation to move your life forward. Step one is to take a look at your calendar for the next 7 days, and I need you to find a block of time that you are absolutely positively sure you can devote it uninterrupted to decluttering. My suggestion is even if it's only 10 minutes, find it. Identify it. How much time do you really legitimately have that you can focus to decluttering? Because we have to figure that out before we can decide what you're going to start with. Because you can't say like, oh, okay, cool. Let's start with my closet. And you've only got an hour this week. That ain't going to happen. We might have to start much smaller. Step two is to looking at the amount of time you have. Now you've got to pick an area, a space that fits the amount of time you have available to take it from start to finish. So let me give you an example. After looking at your schedule, you've only got an hour. And it's your closet that you identified that is giving you the absolute most anxiety. Well, we can't tackle the whole closet in an hour. It's just unrealistic. It ain't gonna happen. What we can tackle is maybe your workout clothes, or maybe just your shoes, or maybe just your boots. You're gonna have to pick one area that is appropriate based on the amount of chaos that's in that space, the amount of things that are in that space, and how much time you have available. Step three, visualize what you want that space to look like now until forever. When you visualize what you want that area to look like, I want you to visualize the big picture, but narrow your focus, your vision, to this specific area that you're going to start with, because we're going to get a small win here. But when I say visualize what you want it to look like picture it. Go on Pinterest. We have to establish some rules before you even start decluttering, or you know what you'll end up doing? Moving things around, which is a big, huge waste of time. So you need to set some policies by which you can determine what you do with everything you touch. Every single item you touch needs to go into one of four places. Some people call it the four pile system, the four box system, the four bin system. I call it the four bins. Now, here's how you will label those bins or boxes or bags, whatever it is you decide to use. Trash. Donate. Relocate, which I hope there's nothing that goes in that relocate file. I mean, very little. Very few things should be going in the relocate. And your keep. But even though you've labeled it keep, you're not going to place it back in that space yet. The one thing I've always struggled with is that conversation that happens when I go through this four bin ritual, that conversation where I can talk myself into keeping too many things. You see, each time you have to make, again, a decision to put that item that's in your hand into one of those four bins, you have to have a conversation with yourself. And that conversation can often go something like this. Well, I mean, it's really nice. I spent a lot of money on this. I just haven't worn it yet. You know what? I can't throw this away. I can't donate it. And there's no place to move it, so I'm just going to keep it because I spent a lot of money on it. Or, so-and-so gave it to me. It's got sentimental value. That one was a tough one for me. Things like trophies or special gifts or little knickknacks sometimes that I'd be at an event and someone would give me like a little angel figurine. And I'm like, I can't throw an angel figurine away. I mean, like, won't God strike me down and won't I go to hell if I throw away an angel figurine, even though it was made out of beer caps? The gift that was given to you served its purpose. It touched you. It made you appreciate that they thought of you. It's already served its purpose. Now, if that person knew that it was creating a burden for you, that it was distracting you, it turned into clutter, which is something that holds us back from our greatness. In other words, if this person knew that the thing that they gave you was holding you back from your greatness, don't you think that they would want you to get rid of it? And that has helped me so much. Sometimes I didn't want to let go of things because I felt like they were part of history. Maybe one of my kids, you know, drew a picture for me when they were like 4 years old, and it's this like, you know, tattered piece of paper that I'm keeping in a box filled with their sentimental things. And I bet your mom did that too. And I know when my mom gave me that box, I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this? This is sentimental to you, mom. It's not sentimental to me. So what you do is if you really must remember it, take a picture of it. It's not like you're going to pull it out at a dinner party. And as you know, it's not like your kids are really going to care to have that stuff back themselves. They might want to see it. I think that's kind of interesting. But that's why you can take a photo of it and then categorize the photos that you've taken of these things. The same thing is true with special heirlooms. If the person who gave it to you, if you're just holding on to it out of guilt and it's holding your life back, you got to get rid of it. You got to donate it. I mean, you could, of course, give it to a relative. You know, giving things that are sentimental to someone else. There are also instances where I know personally I had things of sentimental value. Like, for example, I had dining room hutches that were from my great-grandmother, but they didn't match my house, and I could never sell them, and I couldn't donate them. So I knew it meant probably more clutter for my parents, but it would only be right to offer that to them. So I did, and they did come and pick them up with the truck, and now they're cluttering their house. But we've got a choice to make, right? And so many of these weird beliefs that we have about things are really holding us back. You heard the messages. You know how you feel about this stuff. So we've got to let go of the guilt and figure out what bin that item in your hand needs to go in. And very few things should go in your keep bin. Another excuse that we often use is, I may need this sometime in the future. We had a storage closet that had every single Halloween costume my kids and I and Brett have ever worn over the course of the last 23 years. So we legit had this huge storage closet that we would have had to buy one of those storage units if I hadn't finally just said, okay, get rid of it. And that's what we did. I called a friend and I said, I'm throwing this away today unless you come over and pick it up. It's about 7,000 Halloween costumes from age 2 to age whatever. Do you want them? And she's like, I'll come and get them. But you know what? My thought was, oh, I better not throw any of these costumes away because they're memories. But I've got photos of every single picture of my kids from Halloween. So what was I going to do? Expect them to dress up in those costumes again someday? I mean, it's just silly why we hang on to things. We hang on to things because we don't want to be wasteful. Recently, when I was going through this process, I found a drawer that was just filled with craft paper and Elmer's glue. And I realized we haven't touched that drawer in, I don't know, 8 years. But it was all new paper and all new glue. But I'm like, when am I as an adult ever going to use friggin' Elmer's glue and construction paper? And if I need it, I can spend the $3. It's worth it for me to get rid of this. You know, the $3, the $10, whatever it is I feel like I'm wasting. Again, I can donate this if I want. And that's another thing is like, you know, how much of this stuff you think you're going to donate, that's fine. Go ahead and donate. But nobody wants it. Nobody wants that junk. Nobody wants 30 pieces of construction paper and 2 half-used bottles of Elmer's glue. Throw it away. Anything that's broken, anything that needs to be fixed, and you haven't done it in the last 6 months, it's time. You know where it needs to go. Get rid of it. Now let's talk about clothes, because that's a really big deal, at least for the 96% of my female listeners. But it's a big deal for a lot of ladies because we hang on to clothes. We hang on to clothes because we want a plan B. What if I get so skinny these fit again? Or what if I gain my weight back and I don't have anything to wear? You're either living in the present or you're living in the past. But neither of those things have anything to do with the future. They simply represent the fact, and this is going to sting a little bit, that you haven't let go. That was you in the past. Good or bad, that was a different version of you. There may be a better version of you coming around the corner, but a better version of you is going to want better clothes. It's an opportunity to go shopping. It is time to let go figuratively and literally. And it's not just letting go of our past. It's letting go of small beliefs. Beliefs that are limiting us. The belief that if you give these things away, if you donate them, if you let go of them, that suddenly somehow you're less valuable, or that you're wasting money or wasting things. That's a scarcity mindset. You've got to let go of these things. Things don't define us. No one cares that you have 165 pairs of Nike Shocks, Chalene once said to herself. It's true. Now, when I watch reality TV shows of the rich and famous, and they pan through their closets, and they show this huge shoe collection, it doesn't make me think more of them. It makes me think that they feel like they're not an important person unless they have all those things. Because you and I both know, and I'm sorry to pick on the Kardashians, but when they pan their shoe collection, they're not going to wear any of those shoes ever again. Every new event they go to, they wear a new outfit and a new pair of shoes. So why do you have to keep building more space to display these shoes? And I don't do that anymore. I don't do that with my purses. I don't do that with my shoes. And I used to, and I did it because I would see it on TV shows. And I'm like, well, I've got all these really nice shoes and all these really nice purses. I should display them. And I'm like, why? It doesn't make me a better person. If anything, I think less of people now, this is just me, and I'm sorry if it offends you, but I just think less of people who are like, you know, they've got thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars worth of purses and shoes just sitting and they're never going to wear them again. And why not just donate that? Why not just give? I mean, if it doesn't mean anything to you, every single day that it stays in your closet, it diminishes in value. And if you don't care about it, give it to somebody else who can sell it and use that money to help someone else. I now use a service. You might want to look into this. It's called The Real Real, R-E-A-L-R-E-A-L, therealreal.com. And what they do is they resell those items and you almost get nearly 50% of the original price of the item back. And I take all of those proceeds, every single penny, and Brett and I together donate every penny of that to organizations that help survivors of childhood sexual abuse. And it feels really good. You can stay right where you are. Your life, I'm just going to give you some real talk right now. Your life stays where it's at if you keep holding on to this junk. You know, this mindset that you're going to be caught off guard and be so bummed out that you don't have this one item that you once had. It's ludicrous. It borders on hoarding. I'm not kidding. You've got to let go of that. It's worth it. It's worth it to free your mind from the clutter. In study after study, it has been determined that clutter and organization actually interfere with the pleasure we experience in our life. Get this, 82% of people surveyed stated that they believed their quality of life would be significantly better if they were organized. 44% of people say that when their home is messy, they make bad food choices. 77% of people believe they are far more productive when their home is tidy and organized. 65% of people say they can focus far better when their space is organized and decluttered. 53% of people say that when their space is disorganized and cluttered, they completely lose all motivation. And over 60% of people believe that they would be happier if they had more organization. I mean, this is such a big deal. We all can benefit, including myself, including yours truly, from learning to be even more organized and have less clutter. And decluttering really needs to happen before we can get organized. But it's the get organized part that makes the tidying up something you don't have to do as often. It's the organization piece that becomes a time saver. Because once you have an organized system, there's a keyword system in place, you're not having to just move things around and figure out what you need to donate and organize things and tidy up again. Once you have a system in place and you stick to that system, you will have to declutter far less frequently. I'm not telling you you'll never have to do it again. I think that's, you know, that's ludicrous. That's a perfectionist ideal that I don't think is healthy for you to hang on to. I want you to think about the 80-20 rule. I want you to think about better, not best. I want you to think about improving yourself, not perfecting yourself. But once you have a system in place, then you'll find you have to do this less often. Let me give you an example that I know is happening in your home. You have a drawer where you put your silverware, your flatware, your knives, your forks, your spoons. They're in the same drawer. I'll bet you $1 million. 99.9% of the people who are listening to this right now have all of their cutlery, their forks, their spoons, their knives in one drawer. And hopefully, at least 70% of you have them divided. So the spoons are in one divider, forks in another, and knives in their own divider. Can you imagine if every day when you needed to use a fork, you had to search all over the house or open every drawer in the kitchen? What a nightmare. Or if you didn't have one set place and every time you decided to do this deep cleaning, you put those forks and knives in a new spot. It just wouldn't work. Systems provide structure, organization, peace, predictability, and a savings in time. I use that example because I want you to know it's possible. Systems allow us to stay organized. Systems are required in order to develop habits. It's the habits that make life easier. Habits make it possible for you to just do things without having to force yourself, without having to discipline or remind yourself. And habits need a trigger. They need an anchor. They need a reminder so that they can become mindless. You don't even think about it. You don't have to discipline yourself to put the fork where it belongs. It's a habit. Today, I'm going to share with you some of the systems you need to have in place and how to develop those. Now I want to move on to organization. Step one, you need to define each space. Now, if you have other people that live in your home, this is something you probably need to do with their help and input. Otherwise, if you have one idea of how a space should be used and you haven't communicated that with your partner or your kids or your roommates, you're always going to be in this constant battle. So you want to make sure that everyone is in agreement. A space where everyone agrees, this is where the fitness equipment goes, or this is where the crafting goes, or this is where the sewing goes, or this is where the kids' hobbies, or this is where our kids' sporting equipment goes. They need a defined space, but unless you grew up in the Spellings household, you don't have like a separate room just for wrapping gifts. That means many of your rooms are going to need to be multifunctional. So make sure everybody is in agreement with the fact that this is where these things are going to go. This is going to be their new home, and this is where they're always going to be returned to. The only room that I personally believe needs to be off limits is your master bedroom. Sleep and your intimate relationships are way too important to clutter that room with anything. Now, I realize you might be living in a studio apartment in New York City, and this is just not even an option, but if it is, I want you to really think about getting that stuff out of your bedroom. If you live in a space where you absolutely have to multitask or multifunction your bedroom, at least create divided spaces so that everything has its place within the space, so that it feels like very defined, separate places within the space. You can use a room divider, a curtain, a plant, just something so that mentally you know, okay, everything beyond this plant or this curtain is where I'm going to do X, Y, Z. And again, try to avoid using your bedroom or the place where you sleep as a multi-purpose room. Moving on, now that you have given some thought to how each room or each space needs to function, and perhaps even overlapping functions, and you've defined that, it makes sense in terms of convenience and flow of your home or your workspace. Now what you need to do is create individual places within that space where things belong. Again, I'm going to return to the example of your flatware. Your flatware belongs in the kitchen. Its defined place in that space is one particular drawer. Give all items that will live in that space their own defined place. Every item you own needs a place. And like things should be organized with like things. Everyone knows what place to look for inside that space. Example, where you store your shoes in your closet. It's not just, okay, here's all the shoes. There should be a defined place. Even if it's just an area on the same rack, that might mean that all of your boots are on the right side, or your athletic shoes are in the middle, and all of your high heels go across the top. But they shouldn't be mixed together. That's distracting to your brain when you mix all of these things together. Your brain has to make a decision every time it looks at that mess, that heap, that pile. So really, the more you can categorize and even subcategorize the places inside the space for individual items, the more freedom and peace and clarity and focus you will have. Your next tip is to invest in the tools you need to make your systems stick. Let's go back to the flatware example. You invested, hopefully, in a divider that keeps your knives separate from your forks, separate from your spoons. Now, could you just lay them in the drawer in piles? Yes. But that organizational tool makes things more convenient, more identifiable, and easier to maintain. The way to do this, in my opinion, is to spend some time on Pinterest. And be careful that you don't just get caught up in things that look really cute. You have to ask yourself, is that going to make it quicker and easier for me to access things? Spend some time looking on Pinterest. Whatever it is you're organizing, let's say it's a corner of your garage, or you're trying to figure out a better way to organize your jewelry. Spend considerable time examining things on Pinterest. This is a great place to find them. But don't just look at them for how pretty they look. Think about how functional it would be. When it comes to closet spaces, you've heard me talk endlessly about a brand of hangers that this podcast should be sponsored by Huggable Hangers. It is not, but it's one of those investments that I urge people to make because it's convenient. The hangers are very thin. They're all color coded. Things don't fall off your hangers. Like when I had a bajillion different types of hangers hanging in my closet, that just looked messy. Then I switched to very expensive wooden hangers. That took up way too much space and everything slid off the hangers. So half my closet was on the floor just because I was trying to go through my hangers. Huggable hangers are one of those things that I see as a critical investment. I bought a set 11, 12 years ago and I still have the same sets. They're amazing. Don't buy a trendy color, buy a classic color if you're going to buy them. Can you buy the knockoffs? You can. But when I've tried buying the knockoffs before, like the tops break off, they just, you know, you get what you paid for. Invest in the right hooks and hanging systems. Invest in having a handyman install these things. But one thing I want to make certain you stay aware of is that your organization should look organized. Don't get caught up in buying adorable, cute containers because of the trendy pattern that's on them or their cute design. The busier your organizational pieces are, the more cluttered even an organized space can feel. I know it looks perfect on Pinterest, but remember that you want to keep things in basic neutral colors so that even when you're buying one container today and then maybe you've got to add to it a year from now, you don't have to add a piece that doesn't match. The more your organizational system can match, the calmer your mind will feel when you look at the space as a whole. Before you begin buying or investing, I should say, in things that help you to become more organized, like a divider for your socks or a wall divider, a hanging shelf, plastic bins, hooks, or shelving, do me a favor. Measure the space first. Don't try to eyeball it. Don't try to guess, or you will end up wasting time and money. I implore you to invest in things that make life easier to maintain these systems. A way for you to hang as much as possible because what's out of sight is out of mind and not used. But don't invest in each of these pieces all at once. Once you've finished decluttering a particular space, then you can think about how you want to use that space and more importantly, where each item has a place. What is its place? And then what do you need? What do you need to invest in or to make or to create or to refurbish that allows you to maintain that place for those like items? This is a critical step. And if you're on a budget, a wonderful resource for you is the Salvation Army. They don't just carry used clothes. You can find filing cabinets, hangers, racks, hooks, shelves, and storage units of all kinds. Rather than scheduling a Salvation Army pickup of the items you're donating, maybe you go and drop them off and in the process, check it out. See if they've got some great tools to help you get more organized. Next, I ask you to remember that this is a process and it's an ongoing process. It's like anything. You're going to keep getting better and better. It's not you're going to fix it this weekend and be clutter-free and the most organized freak on the block by Monday. That's unrealistic. Pick a space. And just start adopting this mindset so that you begin to change the way you think as opposed to just tackling the house or tackling your office space. Begin to change the way you think and the way you see things and the way you operate and the systems you have in place. So let's talk habits. As a reminder, habits are a way of making our life easier so that we don't have to think about things. When something's a habit, you just do it. Sometimes just do it mindlessly. You don't have to force yourself to do it. You don't have to overthink it. You don't have to even remind yourself to do it. You don't have to set an alarm on your phone. You just do it. It's a habit. And I've talked about how to create habits on many episodes of The Chalene Show, but just as a quick overview, it's not about repeating it a certain number of days. It's not 21 days. It's not 30 days. It's not 14 days. It's about figuring out where that's stored in your brain and how to create that memory, that automatic pilot reaction when you're triggered by something. So it's anchoring a new habit you want to develop to an existing habit, like brushing your teeth or anything else that's just a habit. Now, these habits are something anyone can acquire. It's just practice and then understanding how to set the habit up so that you don't have to think about it. I ask you to begin with the motivation you feel, the reward you get for doing this behavior. The reward we get for brushing our teeth isn't, in fact, that we don't have cavities when we go to the dentist. You would think that would be the reward. Maybe that's one of the rewards. But the reward that gets you to do it day after day is that simple, satisfactory feeling you get when you slide your tongue over your clean teeth. And that kind of grossed out feeling you get when you do it and you're like, oh my gosh, I forgot to brush my teeth this morning. It's horrifying, but it's very rewarding to go, yeah, my teeth feel good. Like, it's a feel-good kind of feeling. Step one with each of the habits I'm going to cover with you here today is for you to really start paying attention every time you do this thing to how it makes you feel. So you've got to start rewarding yourself. You've got to be present in your mind to be able to stop and go, well, that felt good. Oh, I just did a great job. And like pat yourself on the back. There's got to be a reward of some sort associated with the behavior, the action that you're trying to turn into a habit, or it just won't stick. The next thing you need to keep in mind is, what's the trigger? So you need, like, usually it's a mental or a physical or a visual reminder. Sometimes it's a time of the day, walking into a particular room, but there needs to be some type of, oh, I just noticed that, and that reminds me to do XYZ habit. And the reason why some habits take longer to form than others basically is because either your reward isn't strong enough, or you haven't tapped into the right reward, or it's not the right trigger. Okay, let's talk about the habits that will help to keep you decluttered and organized. Habit number one. This habit is to return things to their proper place. And this goes for everything. In your office, in your car, in your gym bag, in your bedroom, in your closet, in your kitchen. Everything needs a place, and everything needs a place within a defined space. The habit you've got to get into is returning things back to their place, just like the library. When you're done using the vacuum, where does it belong? Where is its place? When you take off your dirty clothes, where do they belong? Not on the floor. They belong in your laundry hamper. When you're done blow drying your hair, don't leave the blow dryer out on the counter. Return it to its proper place. Don't just put items down. Don't just stack things on top of each other. Put them in their place. Now, we often skip this step because we think we're saving time. We think, oh, well, I'm short on time. I'm late for work. So I'm just going to try on these jeans. Oh gosh, I hate these jeans. And then you whip them off. They're inside out and you throw them on the floor. And you think to yourself, I'll just do this later. I mean, tomorrow or tonight when I get home, I'll just hang up this pile of clothes that are now on my floor that I've quickly tried on, and I don't want to be late for work, so I don't have time to pick them up. But literally, the amount of time it would take for you to pick up that pair of jeans that you just whipped off and rehang them is this long. Are you ready? Okay, that's how long it took. That was less than 8 seconds. Okay, let's double it. Let's just say it took you 16 seconds. Just do it. It's true. A stitch in time saves 9. And more importantly, forget about saving time. It saves your brain. So even though you're out the door and you're on time now for work, how about getting up just a few minutes earlier? And if you've got just a couple of seconds, do it now, because otherwise that clutter is in your subconscious all freaking day. And now you've got to come home to it. This is a habit you can create with visual cues. When you see items laying around your house, and this really only works after you've decluttered, but once you've decluttered, then those things that are not in the right place, they really stand out. They're going to catch your attention. So that's the trigger. You're seeing something that doesn't belong where you're seeing it. That's the trigger. The action or the behavior is returning it to its place. And you've got to get in the habit now of when you pass by something, allowing that to become a trigger, allowing yourself to take note of the fact that that pile of bills doesn't belong on your kitchen counter, that the toys that are strewn about the living room don't belong on the floor at that time. But in general, the habit you need to start developing and help your family to develop is when you see something out of place, you return it to its home. That includes keys and gadgets and chargers and any clutter that is not in its place needs to be returned to its home. The next habit I want to talk to you about is one that I learned from an 87-year-old personal training client I had. This is back in the early 90s. I was just starting out as a personal trainer. And this family hired me to go and train their mother. She lived in an apartment. I'll never forget her. She was so amazing. I loved this woman. She was 87 years old, pretty frail, but tough as nails at the same time. Do you know what I mean? Like, she was physically pretty strong. But the reason why her family had hired me to train her three times a week wasn't to get ready for bikini season, but to keep her physically active and probably to keep her company. And because this woman loved routine. I was scheduled to show up to her home 3 days a week, shortly after lunch. And the first couple times I showed up, she was there washing a plate in her sink. And I remember asking her, you know, what she was doing or if I could help her. And she said, nope, no. And she would just clean that plate and then wipe it dry and put it back in the cupboard. I noticed that her house was immaculate. And I said to her, do you have someone who comes and helps you clean your house? And she said, no, it's just me. And I said, well, that's wonderful, but still, how do you keep it clean? And she said, you do it now. When I eat my sandwich or I have my lunch, I don't leave the plate in the sink. I clean it and I don't let it just sit and dry. I wipe it dry and I put it away. I do it now. That way I don't have to do any of these things later. I do it now. And I just remember that phrase really stuck with me because to that point, and again, I was like in my early 20s, I'd never even thought about that. Everything I had done was like, oh, okay, this is good for now and I'll do this later. That was kind of my mentality. Just always like running and thinking to myself, okay, I'll do that later. Like that was a phrase I always had in my head is I'll do this later. And she helped me to begin repeating the phrase, do it now, do it now, do it now, do it now. Eventually, I had to modify do it now to also sometimes say start it now. Because what I found is I would think to myself, okay, I need to do my laundry, but I've got to get to work. So if I were to do it now all the way, I wouldn't make it to work on time. So I had to train myself to say start it now, even if you can't finish it all right now. Start it now because it's going to save you time later. But do it now. Do it now. Start it now. Which leads me to habit number three, which is some is better than none. So when you're in a rush, you sometimes think to yourself, okay, what's the point? You know, there's this big mess and I don't have time to do all of this and finish this, so I'm going to do none of it. Spending 10 minutes getting yourself organized or putting a few things away is better than doing nothing. Do it now, start it now, and some is better than none. Now we'll move on to my fourth habit for you to develop, and that is to never leave a room empty-handed. That means every time you're leaving a room, you're getting up to like leave the room and go upstairs or go into another area of the house, I want you to quickly scan the room and bring anything with you on the way that belongs in the room you're headed towards. So if you notice that there's dirty laundry and you're going to be going past the laundry room, grab the laundry. By doing this, you keep things more organized as you go instead of scheduling the time to do it all at once. My next tip is to remember that each time you let go of something, you're moving forward. So this habit really focuses on the feeling. So let's say you have this necklace. I mean, it's just a cheap necklace. It's costume jewelry. You definitely got its wear out of it, but it's outdated now. You haven't worn it in 4 years, but you feel guilty throwing it away. It feels like you're being wasteful. It feels like maybe at some point you could use it again in the future. So you have this guilt associated with throwing it away. What I want you to focus on is, instead of the negative, focus on how positive you feel. When you let go of that item, you're able to let go, move forward. And moving forward means evolution. It means you're becoming a better person. So every time you let go of something, I want you to feel that sensation, that pride, that you're becoming a better person, more evolved. And if you just, it's so hard for you to let go of these things because of that feeling that it's being wasteful or that somebody could use it, well, then let go of it and give it to somebody else. Put it in a bag for donation, but you have to literally put it in a bag so you don't see it anymore and make a point, schedule it now, that it's going to the Salvation Army or whatever secondhand resource, maybe even a woman's shelter that you'd like to donate it to. If that's what you need to do, great. Put it in a bag, donate it, and donate it that day. Do it now. Do it now. Do it now. The sixth habit to help you stay organized is to have a reset hour. Now, this is an hour which most people suggest you do it at night before you go to sleep. And it's when you kind of reset the entire area that's important to you, whether that's your office or your bathroom or the coffee table, or maybe it's a whole house, maybe it's a kitchen, whatever it is, it's the area that you know you need this area reset back to perfection. First thing when you wake up in the morning, you see it and it's perfect. So you decide for you what area needs to be reset and give yourself on your schedule at least an hour of your evening routine to reset that area. Number 7, this habit is about make-believe. So one thing we noticed when we were getting our home ready, thinking about putting it on the market, we knew, okay, we're going to have a realtor come over and see the house. And now I've watched enough HGTV to know what makes a house look presentable, ready to sell. And number 1, decluttered. Number 2, organized. Number 3, it needs to look like nobody lives there, which is kind of funny. If you just imagine or pretend, make believe in your head that you have company coming over every day while you're gone, you've got like strangers who will be coming through your home, you will leave your house in a completely different state than you do when it just needs to be acceptable for you. And why is a chaotic, out of control, overcluttered mess okay for you? It's not okay for you. It's not a reflection of who you are. It's not the impression you want to make on the world. It's not the impression you want to have of yourself. So just make believe every day when you leave the house, important company will be coming for a visit. Like, is it clutter-free? Does it look organized? Is it functional? Are you making best use of the space? The number 8 habit I have for you is to make your bed every day. In fact, it's the title of a book by Admiral McRaven, former Navy SEAL, who explains that if you want to change the world, you have to start by doing small things like making your bed. If you make your bed every single morning, as he explains, you've accomplished the first small important task of the day, and that gives you this sense of pride, and it encourages you to do more tasks the right way, one after another after another. And by the end of the day, that one task that you completed may have turned into countless small tasks, but you did the first task, you did it right. So that even by the end of the day, if many things didn't go right, when you finish your day and you're approaching your bed, you're reminded that you did at least one thing right. And it gives you the encouragement to make tomorrow better. My number 9 tip for you is to touch it once. The touch it once habit is very similar to the do it now. In other words, it's learning not to put things off until later. If you pick up a piece of paper or a bill, rather than put it in your file later pile, file it in that moment. Touch it once. If you have time to walk over to the sink and rinse your plate, you've got time to, after rinsing it, put it in the dishwasher. There's no need to make somebody else touch it again later. It's in your hand. Rinse it and put it in the dishwasher. It's time to break the habit of doing things that could and should be done in one step, even though it might take a few extra seconds. It's just a habit. Instead of focusing on how good it feels to have done it quickly, focus on how much better it feels to have done it all the way. My last and final habit for you to develop is one that I call the 1-to-2 ratio. What I've been doing since January is each time I bring in one new item, I try to make sure two are going out. Now, this might not make sense for you, but if you're a consumer, if you like the Amazon.com, shall we say, then it's important that anytime something new is coming in, you've got at least two things going out. I call it the 1-for-2. Practice this especially with clothing. It's so easy to just get rid of things around your house that you don't need them anymore. You have something better, or they're just taking up space. For each new item that comes in your house, two older items go out. I hope you found all of these tips helpful. If your biggest nightmare is your closet, I'd like to recommend a resource for you. It's episodes number 231, How to Have an Organized Closet, and episode number 232, which is part 2. I think I entitled it The Smart Closet Makeover. And you'll love these episodes because I am literally recording it from inside my closet, and I walk you through exactly how to start, where to start, and how to get your closet organized. I think we're good for now, but I don't know. I'm going to leave that up to you. If you feel like there's more that I need to help you with, I need to hear from you. So leave me your thoughts and your review and tell me specifically what you'd like to have more of. Please be sure to share this episode with anyone you know who deserves to be clutter-free. And you know what they say? The cornerstone of learning and changing our thinking is repetition. Maybe go back and re-listen again. I mean, why not? Let's get this stuff to stick. In the meantime, I want you to know I love you. I really do mean that. It means so much to me that you spend this time with me. To know how to reach me, if you look at the show notes for this episode, I have links to every social media platform. Just pick the one that you prefer, and that's how you'll know how to hit me up. And I appreciate hearing from you because you are thebomb.com. I love you. I mean it, and I'll talk to you soon.